And by the way, we are going to get these stories throughout the day. Kevin Stefanski officially let go as Browns head coach. Adam Schefter with the latest.
Yeah, it was Black Monday.
Black Monday in the NFL.
Yeah, we saw, obviously, Atlanta moved on.
Raheem Morris is gone.
Yeah, last night. And we saw teams do it during the season. There's going to be more that happens today.
Pete Carroll, maybe. One and done.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Glenn, there's been whispers, probably not. He'll probably stay.
I heard last night that the sources were saying he was going to be back for another year. It would just be confirmed today. So I do anticipate that he'll be back with the Jets for one more year.
Look, they didn't do him any favors with the quarterback situation and the trades they made mid-season.
Well, they didn't do any favors for him this year, but they did some big-time favors for him going into the draft.
Oh, yeah. I just mean, like, this season was clearly a lost season for the Jets. I think where it becomes messy now is they're going to take a quarterback in two, right? I would think.
I would think so.
And if Aaron Glenn struggles next year, are they going to have a new coach for that quarterback in his second season? It gets kind of messy. You'd have to be certain you believe in Aaron Glenn for the long haul if you're taking a quarterback.
Right, because you have to define your expectations going into the season. If they define it as, hey, we expect to be a playoff team, but then they better go in free agency and bring in a quarterback.
And act like it, yeah.
Because if you're going into it with a rookie quarterback, okay, there's going to be bumps.
I just think there's a sensitivity in stunting a young quarterback where you get drafted in one regime and then you make a change quickly. They need to be sure that Aaron Glenn's
the guy. Oh, you mean like a Jackson Dart?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are they prone to that in New York? Knee-jerk reactions? Anyway, we got TJ Lang in studio for the final hour of the show, wrapping up the Lions season. TJ, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
What's up,
buddy?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing? Last time we were all in here together.
I know. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, holiday season, everybody. John, you were
out of town last week. Yes.
Yeah. What's going on? Yeah, I was kind of listening to your closing comment yesterday. What'd that feel like? I mean, it's like, you hate to be that guy, but it's like, where was this effort? You know, I hate to say it, but like, it just looked different yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like they were the effort, the urgency, looked different, man. And you know, call it what it is. I mean, you know, guys get different ways to get motivated depending on circumstances. Obviously they all knew the season was over after yesterday.
Yeah.
Whether you're an older guy that, you know, want to go out with a decent taste in your mouth, whether you're a young guy, like, man, I got to prove that I can still be a part of this team's future because there's going to be a lot of changes. Coach has not been shy of hinting at that. You find different ways to get motivated. It was at least good to see some of those guys, you know, in the locker room celebrating with smiles on their face, man. It's been a tough month. They know that. They haven't played the way that we expected them, or they expected themselves to play, but it was good to see a lot of smiles and, you know, at least start the offseason on a decent note. I'm not going to say go out on a high note.
But. Well, and the frustration is not that, you know, hey, they played well against a team that's obviously winning the division. It was a division opponent, so you love the win. It's the fact that they played that way on the heels of, you know, looking at the Steelers game or either loss to Minnesota, and they were two games out of winning the division. They were one game out of being in the playoffs.
Right.
And so that's the frustrating part.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe Green Bay attacks the last couple of weeks differently if you beat Pittsburgh. Like, I'm not going to say, like, if you beat Pittsburgh and if you beat Minnesota yesterday, could have been for the division technically.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if Green Bay probably plays Jordan Love against Baltimore. They probably played guys yesterday.
Right.
So I'm not gonna say, oh man, like that's the bummer about it. But I think it's a reminder, man. And guys, you know, John, you know, man, you're gonna take some time. Like I used to take probably a month at least, you know, just try to get away, man. This season, like, it's so long. It's such a grind. You listen to these guys talk yesterday, and no excuse, but man, this was a grind for these guys. It was a tough season, and you try to get away from that for a little bit, right? You try to, like Taylor Decker said, not make any emotional decisions, right? Like, let me escape. Let me, you know, really reflect on the season. I think a lot when you reflect on the season is just too many times where, you know, the difference between a good team and a great team is you got to make those big plays in the big moments. And they weren't able to find enough of those. And yesterday was kind of maybe a learning lesson, like, gosh, like, that's the difference. That's the difference of making those one big plays. Or when we throw the interception late in the game, defense, we have to get one stop. Mm-hmm. And they hadn't done that all season long in some of their big losses. and they find a way to do it yesterday. Is it, could you say too little, too late? Yeah, I guess you could, but it's a reminder as a player, like when coach says we're not far off, that's what he means, right? So it's a bummer that it had to come, had to happen at the end of the game or end of the season with, you know, really nothing on the line. But I think it's just a stark reminder for a lot of us how close the competition in this league is and what good teams look like.
Yeah. Know?
Yeah.
How much of it, and I know you're part of teams, obviously you're part of a Super Bowl championship team. You're also part of teams that were knocked out of the playoffs before the season was over. And there are some guys that it always frustrated me that would play their best football in those final 2 weeks or that final week because there was no pressure on them.
Yeah, I mean, that's different. You know, I think that's a real thing. Like,
yeah,
guys like yesterday kind of had like that YOLO mode, like whatever. I'm not.
Yeah, but let it all hang out.
I don't care, man.
Yeah.
Like Jared Goff played, like, I thought one of his best games I've ever seen him play yesterday.
Yeah.
But the mindset looked different. Like, I don't want to force the ball. In some of those games, you could be, and I'm not accusing Jared Goff of being this.
No.
You know, when you're taking some sacks or you're throwing the ball at about, like, I can't hurt the team. Right? Like, there's different, and that's human nature. I think we were all probably the same way, man. I can't have a bad play here or else it's going to start to tumble and, man, like, knock us out, whatever. And then when you get that off your back and it's, yeah, I mean, that's the difference between being a great player, too. We talk about being a good and great team. I mean, that's the difference between a good and great player is, can you perform under pressure, you know? And I don't know if I would feel that way about this team, you know, just kind of going back through the season and some of the losses and, you know, Green Bay picking up a couple fourth downs and even the Rams picking up a couple fourth downs and getting a bad penalty called against you against, you know, the Eagles late in the game when you had a chance to maybe get the ball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just everybody kind of – Minnesota, the first time you played them, you know, you get a big third down chance, get the ball back, and, oh, man, like, they just make a heck of a catch, right? Like, you have a lot of those moments. But, yeah, I mean, that's I think they got a lot of guys that can, you know, perform under pressure and accept the pressure. But, I really only played – I think it was one year out of my 10 where the last game was, like, meaningless.
Yeah.
It was my first year in Detroit, 2017. We were playing Green Bay at the end of the season. Both of us were out of it. But it was kind of like a fun game.
Because there's no pressure.
Yeah, there's no pressure. And you're kind of looking at the other guys like, hey, let's just stay healthy today. None of us want to go in the offseason needing surgery, whatever it is.
But, yeah, where are you going tomorrow?
Yeah. Hey, run a stunt, man. I'm going to let you get Clay, you need a
an incentive? What's the bonus?
Yeah. You want TFL?
Hey, speaking of that.
Yeah. I'll split it with you.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of that, I brought this up to John. I'm just asking the question. I'm not making accusations. Did Joe Burrow pull a Brett Favre?
Oh, man, I was wondering that, too. Because I wasn't watching it live, but I saw as soon as it happened, everybody was posting about it, right? I don't think so. Myles Garrett had a hell of a get off on that play.
Like, I mean,
that
was like around the edge right now.
Yeah, and that was like, I don't care if I'm going to be offsides. Like, I'm just timing this up and going. No, I think that's I would lean no.
Okay.
Cuz Brett Favre was more before the play like, "Hey, we're supposed to run the ball. I'm going to pretend like it's a play action and fall in front of you." I didn't get that vibe, but it did kind of look like Joe took a little bit of a dive. But, I mean, that's Myles Garrett coming around the edge, beating your left tackle. It's like, would you rather Joe Burrow in that moment going in the offseason take a shot to the back, or would you rather just curl up in a ball?
No, right? You just go down, let him touch you, and he gets his moment. By the way, Zach Taylor was all bent out of shape.
Oh, he was being
about
a baby about it. Yeah, like, they didn't tell us they were going to stop the game or whatever. It's like, they pretty much do that anytime a historical record is. Like, I remember with Drew Brees, obviously, with the passing record or the touchdown, whatever yards.
One of them.
Yeah.
But they stopped the game, and, you know, you acknowledge the guy. And look, I think that's probably the right thing to do. But, yeah, Zach Taylor was being a baby about it. Like,
we were playing for our lives.
Oh, we didn't sub. We were trying to get to the line and, you know, playing for our lives. Like, I'm like,
okay. Maybe for his job. I don't know.
Well, I think that's probably what he meant. But,
yeah
kind of odd that – and, look, I know you don't really care when people on other teams break records, especially against you.
Right, yeah. I think that left tackle was probably thinking, can we just play the next
exactly,
play?
Exactly, right. But – yeah, because it's going to be replayed about 100 times.
Over and over until somebody breaks it. Yeah. That's going to be the one.
Yeah, but a record like that, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was appropriate to stop the game, and I didn't really see what happened. I mean, it wasn't a super long stoppage, was it?
No, it was like a minute.
Yeah, and they let him celebrate on the sideline with his teammates and then kind of
just kept going.
Yeah, okay. I didn't have a problem with it. We got it's a long record, man. I mean, that's a historical record, right?
Yeah, single season sack record. Yeah. Sack King. 248-539-9797. We've got open lines, questions for TJ as we wrap up the Lions regular season. I'm not going to the postseason, so wrap up the Lions season and kick off the offseason. We should play Taylor Decker audio at some point this hour, give TJ a chance to respond, and clearly that's going to be a topic of conversation, what the Lions do up front on the offensive line, talk about some of the future stuff. And John, I don't know if you saw this. TJ had a viral moment over the weekend.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I will guess.
I know Heather talked about watching Pitch Perfect 2 last night.
It was not that.
No, it happened to TJ.
No, I can't imagine. Yeah, that's an old moment.
In Chicago, we will get the audio. It's coming up this hour, 97.1.
Hey, every law firm talks about experience. David Feminino has decades of it, going up against insurance companies and winning for his clients. But here's what makes him different. He knows the only experience that really matters is yours. And when you're in a car accident, you care about your well-being. You want someone who's going to listen to you, someone who works hard for you, and someone that will get you paid. David gets that. Your experience matters. And when he fights for you, not for his resume. If you've been injured, you need to give David a call at 855-65-CRASH or visit him on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Sing it, TJ. Nope. All right.
Worst
then.
Christmas song.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, I think you mentioned that.
Yeah. Last time we were all in this room together. Yeah.
Have you ever dressed up as Santa?
Yeah.
You'd be a good Santa.
Yeah. Thanks.
I mean, you just.
John?
Yeah. No, big guy. Yeah. I've dressed up as Santa before because of your personality.
You're so jolly.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to add any padding.
Why? Yeah. Okay. I will say that. It's like when people look at you as an offensive lineman and sometimes they'll be like, man, you look like you could still play. And I'm like, that's not really compliment.
Right, yeah.
Like if I was like a linebacker or a tight end, I'd be like, thanks, man. Like, hell yeah.
Still right, yeah. Like, yeah. I look like I'm athletic and strong.
I'm still big. I'm still big. Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Never thought appreciate of that. That's it. Great. TJ Lang in studio. We got open lines. You got questions. You got comments. The Lions season is officially over. They beat the Chicago Bears. How did that leave you feeling? Were you happy because... hey, man, better to win than lose. Happy because you beat a division rival. Happy because you ended on a win, winning record, whatever. If you felt happy about it, let us know. If you were angry or frustrated because, of course, that's how they play once they're eliminated. If you're mad because it hurt the draft position. If you were just left watching that game feeling kind of hollow, like that was me. I felt hollow. They won the game, but it didn't do anything for me. It was too little too late. And the time to prove that you're tough and gritty was weeks ago, right? Beating Ben Johnson doesn't hold the same level of satisfaction when they're still playing and our season's over.
Yeah, to me it was, as I said earlier, it was a sour win. You're going to play the game. You're going to keep score. Somebody's going to win and lose. I'm always in the mindset, I would rather win. I don't care about draft position. I just want to win the damn game. But when it's all done, it's a sour win because it didn't mean anything. You weren't playing for a shot to get in the playoffs. It just was, you were playing it because it was the 17th game on the schedule.
And look, I wanted the draft position because that's tangible. That's something that can give Brad a boost. The last couple drafts have not been his best. At the same time, I don't want the players to lay down. I don't want the coaches to turn off the competitive juices. I'm happy they went out and played hard. I'm not mad that they won, but that feeling, that warm, fuzzy feeling of winning didn't exist for me. And now they're picking 17 instead of 13 or 14. And they need all the help they can get because it's a big offseason.
It is a big offseason. And there's going to be a lot of decisions they've got to make about their roster, guys that are going to be here, guys that won't be here. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with the offensive line, how they're going to patch together the secondary. What are their expectations for Kirby Joseph? When will Brian Branch be back? DJ Reed's under contract. How do you get him to play better throughout the course of an entire season? I know he was hurt. He was never the same player for the rest of the season. Amik Robertson, what are the plans for him? There are plenty of questions that they've got to find answers to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see both sides. I mean, of course, all of us as fans, would we like the 13th pick over the 18th pick, whatever it might be. Like, yeah, of course. But those guys don't care.
No, they shouldn't care. And they should, and they shouldn't care.
John, you remember being a player. Like, you never once cared about the draft.
Right.
Like, hold, okay, let me, yeah, let me help the lose to get better draft position so you guys can pick potentially my replacement. Like, nobody cares about that.
No, of course a player shouldn't ever worry about that.
But I'm not mad at either side. Like, I'm kind of with you guys. It was like, yeah, I mean, it didn't feel like a typical win, but still, like, you know, those guys battled, man. Like, you know how tough this is, and... I don't know. Things don't roll over season to season. Like, you know that. The season's so spread out. You're not going to go into next year, you know, with momentum because you beat Chicago. But maybe just a reminder. And it's more bum than anything about really how close this team could have been, you know?
I think that was a big bummer. Because if they beat Minnesota, who threw for net 3 yards on Christmas Day, very different feeling beating Chicago in Soldier Field in Week 18. You know, yeah. if they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had a pathetic offense that somehow rolled up 500 yards against Detroit. Like, that would have meant so much more. And I guess I was watching it with, like, what could have been on the brain the entire time.
Yeah, I think a lot of us were. And, you know, I think that it's also a stark reminder for a lot of those guys in the building how quickly things can change, you know, and how quickly things can get away from you, whether that's a season, whether that's a game, whether that's, oh, man, this one play. Right, like really changed the outlook of the rest of the season, whatever that may be. I think that it's a reminder. And then you have games like yesterday, and that's also a reminder of it's frustrating because it's like we could have done this.
Yeah,
we did have the players to do it, but you know, it's just a reminder that you can't take any team lightly.
How big a deal is? So I mentioned the draft position. They, you know, they don't move up; they win the game, but they finished last in the division. With a winning record, it's kind of a bizarro situation where the entire North was above water, the entire South was below 500. Weird way the NFL schedule played out. But the Lions will now have a last place schedule for next season. Mm-hmm. How big a deal is it? Like, clearly it's not enough to just play bad teams. You also have to have a good offseason and play better football.
Yeah.
But next season, they're going to play the Jets, Giants, Titans, Cardinals, Saints, Falcons. That's a far cry from the murderer's row this year. And if it's a couple game difference, well, it could be the difference of this team getting in or being a team with home field in the postseason.
Right. Then next year we have to do all the radio. Well, it was an easy schedule. Made it, but it's an easy schedule. They won the division, but it was a last place schedule.
John, you're right. And you're absolutely spot on, but I'd rather be doing those shows with a playoff team. Then this year, we wanted all the smoke. We had the tough games, and they got taught a tough lesson.
Yeah, well, look at, the difference is look at, you know, Chicago.
They played the Saints and the Raiders this year.
Yeah, and, you know, the Giants, they played the
we played the Giants too. But yeah.
But it's
those couple games.
It's a couple games, man. And what was the difference in this?
couple games.
You know? So, yeah, but, and here's the thing too, though, is there's some of those teams, there's teams every year that, you know, were go from last to first. I mean, obviously Chicago, prime example. So you can't really look at the teams you're playing next year and going like, oh, at least we got these guys, because there's going to be some of them that are going to be maybe challenging for their division, right? Teams are just different. Now, do I expect, you know, the Titans and the Jets and
Cardinals?
Probably not, you know, like they're kind of in
two or three should be bad,
but and teams change. So it's, you can't, I was never a believer of like, oh, at least we get to play these guys. Like,
cause, well, again, as a player, I wouldn't totally expect different. You to look down on an opponent. Like, you can't afford to do stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it does make a difference when, like you mentioned, you know, winning some of those close games and difference between being 11 and 9 wins, right? We just got a prime example of that with Chicago.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Decker stuff? Like, we played audio earlier, and we can play it again for people, but just maybe we should play it for people here so they get a sense and then let TJ respond to it. Greg, it's two cuts. They're about 40 seconds each. Let's play cut number one, Taylor Decker postgame. Before we play the second clip, that level of maintenance on your body, is that typical? Or is that atypical?
I think especially when you're in year 10.
Yeah, it's pretty typical.
It takes a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I used to get my knee drained twice a week.
Oh, wow.
You know, just to be able to get on the plane, and then you got to wear, you know, the compression just to keep the swelling from coming back.
Yeah, and that's not to say that, oh, Decker's just doing the same thing everybody else, but because it does, I mean, he did lay out a lot of things. But,
yeah.
And even I would say today, with all the different treatment resources. Like, it's just totally different than even when I was playing, you know, 10 years ago. The different, you know, tools that these guys have to try to speed up that recovery.
The second clip is the one that's getting more response, and we'll just play it and go from there. You hate that he says he's selfish.
Yeah, with selfish. It's not selfish of him. He was taking care of himself as he needed to go out there and perform his job.
Yeah. Like,
there's a lot of sacrifices that people make, that families make, for the breadwinner to go out there and do their job. I hate it that he feels that way. I understand it. Because you don't want to have your entire family, especially your wife, who's the one that's taking care of the kids, taking care of you, doing all these things. You don't want them to have to go through it, but it's not being selfish of him.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I was kind of in the same boat with Taylor with once it starts to, you feel like affect, you know, family, then it becomes difficult.
Yeah.
But I think he's approaching it the right way. He said, look, everybody was emotional yesterday, you know, especially him and Skipper and Graham, I'm sure. Coach went out of his way a couple times to kind of point those guys out. So I think they know it's a possibility. But I talked to Taylor after the game, too, with our, you know, station interview, and he said, I need to take some time. And, you know, I don't want to make a rash emotional decision. Then a month from now, you know, I feel completely opposite, and, did I make the right decision? So he's doing it the right way, man. Take some time. Get away from the game. Reset your mind. You know, once you start working out again, maybe in a month, if you're feeling really good, then that's be like, okay, I think I can do this one more. If you're feeling like, this is going to be another grind, then make the decision then.
The backdrop is obviously the Lions are coming off of a season where the offensive line didn't play well enough. And if he doesn't come back, it's yet another position they have to address. So you say he's handling it the right way. Coming up next, we'll get to how the Lions should handle it this offseason. It's 97.1. Dan Miller on the call, Aiden Hutchinson with the sack on the play. John, you asked me a question. You said, do we have this audio of TJ's viral moment?
Oh, yes. And you shared it with me. It's awesome.
So if I make people wait to the end of the hour, is it worth staying for?
100%. Yes, please stick around.
Okay. 9:50, TJ's viral moment had us all laughing.
I had no idea that this happened. Zero idea.
I can't wait for the backstory on it, too. Anyway, on the Lions season officially ending, guys, my one word is wasted. The season was wasted. And they lost draft position with the win. The season a waste, Jay in Flat Rock.
Well, the season will be a waste if you don't learn anything from it. And it starts with Brad Holmes, goes down to Dan Campbell, the assistant coaches, and the players. You all have to you have to learn from what happened this year so you don't repeat it.
I agree with John. Always play to win. The Lions have four straight winning seasons under Coach Campbell. Go Lions. Mm-hmm. Beating the Bears yesterday doesn't change what player they can draft. They have multiple needs. Jim, it's a loser's mentality to worry about the draft. Well, I think the draft's a pretty critical piece of this offseason. And they may have a player they really want to draft at 17 that doesn't make it to 17. Right?
Sure.
And Brad could trade up, but he's going to have to give up.
Player if they were at 13 that they wanted to draft there, doesn't make it to 13.
Right.
Well, they couldn't. How dare they not lose all their games?
I hate you. Let's get to the phones. That's not what I was saying. Bill in Grosse Pointe, good morning. Happy New Year.
Hi, good morning to you guys.
Good morning, Bill.
Real quick. Hi, John. We've met before. Anyway, if I were Brad Holmes, I would look at every player. I would look at all the players that Sheila Ford and Brad gave them these big contracts and said, we need to renegotiate if we're going to get a marquee player because we're up against salary cap, aren't we?
Yes, and that's the general path that those contracts take, especially with Jared Goff. Like, he's not going to go into this season having a cap hit of what, $70 million. He's going to restructure, kick some of that money down the road. They may add a year. It'll be the same thing eventually with Penei Sewell, with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, all of these deals will get restructured so that they can open up cap space for this year.
I hope so. I hope they do that because if we want a marquee player, but even that, the marquee player might come to Detroit and say, hey, there's no Super Bowl in your curio cabinet. I want to play somewhere else because the Bears are going to get better. The Vikings are going to get better. The Packers. So, I mean, we got to do something.
Yeah, I do think that the Lions are still, you know, if you're a free agent, you'd look at playing for Dan Campbell. A lot of players want to play for him.
Yeah.
This is still a team that, you know, I know it was a step back last year. step back this year in terms of what they did in the playoffs and not making the playoffs, this is still a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl.
TJ, we played the Taylor Decker audio, and he's going to go through this process and not make a rash decision. How should the Lions handle this?
I think you would like to know before the draft, or I would say before free agency, because free agency happens in middle of March.
You'd like to have an idea, yeah. But certainly you want to know before the draft.
So I think that, look, and if you're the Lions, like, do you want to put that on the player, you know, that's been here 10 years, like a respected guy, captain, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
You got to balance that line, but you also got to protect yourself to make sure you don't have another Frank situation, right? So I think that it wouldn't be unfair for them to say, take a month, you know, take up until the end of February, right? But, you know, we really like to know, you know, by the start of the league new year when the free agent market opens up. So you have an idea of, A, the cap space you're going to have, B, the needs that you're going to have. I think that, you know, that's not unfair for the team or the player to understand that, you know, that wouldn't be a that should be you'd like to in a perfect world, you know.
In a perfect world, but they
like
also
to know
may
that before you could start signing guys.
They also may tell him, "Hey, you know, we don't believe that you're going to be able to be the player that we need," and they could tell him, "You're going to be a June 1st cut. We're going to cut you now. You're going to be a June 1st because, you know, we'd all like to think that we're going to go out on our own terms. That rarely happens.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see what happens. Obviously, it's a long offseason, right?
The other thing would be, whether he's coming back or not, they need to address the tackle spot. You want to be a year early as opposed to a year late.
For sure. Yeah, you know? Oh, that doesn't change, you know, needs. But I'm just thinking, hey, if you know, a month from now, Decker's feeling great, man, and he's like, guys, okay, like, I think I can do this. Maybe we're going to have to find a different way to, you know, kind of manage me out throughout the season, whatever it might be. But I'm going to give you another year. And Taylor Decker had a really good year.
Yep.
I thought he was their most consistent O-lineman throughout the course of the season. And that's not a shot at anybody else. That's a compliment to Taylor Decker. But does that change? It changes because, obviously, if you're going to plan without Taylor, you'd like to get a day one starter now,
yeah, right?
But instead of, hey, if we have Taylor back, it's still a need, but now we can draft a guy, and hopefully get it right with him and groom him for a year, whatever it may be, or have a decent option, you know, moving into the future. So, just it doesn't change the need, but it might change the type of player that you need to get going into the season.
We will get to TJ's viral moment, but first, Heather with the news.
Well, as we head into 2026, experts are urging people to rethink the traditional New Year's resolutions because chances are you're going to give up on them within a few weeks anyway. So instead of making these lofty resolutions, experts say you should set goals that you can actually accomplish, which makes total sense, right? Because there's actually studies that say only 9% of Americans actually follow through on their resolutions to the end of the year. So most people don't actually achieve them anyway. So you should set smaller goals. So instead of saying, like, I'm going to lose 100 pounds if you have 100 pounds to lose or a significant amount of weight, or saying you're going to pay off all of your debt or something huge, you should just do little goals, like saying, you know, like, every day maybe I'll try to walk 10 minutes after dinner, something that you can actually go and do, and do those things, which will then kind of create these routines, which will help you accomplish the goals you want to achieve. So
habits are everything, and you got to form the habits.
You got to create the habits to then achieve larger goals. So kind of start small, and you'll be able to do more by the end of the year. Notre Dame's men's basketball coach Micah Shrewsbury was publicly reprimanded by the ACC after charging after a ref following a controversial loss to California.
He went after him too.
January
2nd. Did you see the video of this?
I did see. Well, he was held. He had to be held back by other players and staff members. Yeah, I saw the video. After losing 72-71 in the final seconds of the game, Shrewsbury basically just lost his cool, right? And he charged after this official after the final buzzer. Like I said, intercepted by players and staff members. And the ACC said that his actions violated the ACC's sportsmanship policy. They said his behavior tarnished the on-court play between the two teams. Well, he has since apologized. It doesn't sound like he's going to face any other consequences. And he called his actions unacceptable.
He lost his mind.
Yeah, he should
have. He did, yeah. But he didn't hit anybody, did he?
No, he didn't. He didn't, but he... He could have.
Yeah.
He maybe wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of times we all want to.
Yeah. A skydiver.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
Was involved in a pregame mishap at the Armed Forces Bowl on Friday. Did you see this? This could have went much worse than it did. So it was all part of this coordinated pregame ceremony, right? Where these multiple jumpers were jumping out of a small aircraft. Going to just land peacefully on the field. Didn't go that way. One of the five jumpers got caught up in the netting behind the goalpost, got all caught up, and then just fell about 35 feet to the ground. Thankfully, he wasn't injured. Nobody was injured. He was able to walk off the field. Another jumper landed outside of the stadium, so didn't even land on, but he was all right as well. So
did he have an ostrich attack to him? Like the Liberty Bibberty commercial? Runs into the RV.
I don't believe so, John.
Sean?
I don't believe so. Joe Buck had to hide a little secret during Saturday's broadcast of the Seahawks-Niners game. He thanked his makeup artist for covering up a black eye that he sustained while breaking up a fight between his seven-year-old twins. Mm. They're getting a little rough. He jumped in there and took a knee, he said, right to the eye. He showed on social media a before and after photo showing the black eye and then how his makeup artist was able to cover it up for...
Mm-hmm.
For game time.
Sounds like they baited his dad into it. Like, hey, let's do this. Let's see if we get down here. Then take your shots.
TJ, what do you think of that one? Pretty good shiner?
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that's a good
happen.
One.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one. You got your money's worth on that one.
Yeah.
Sure.
National Popcorn Day coming up on the 19th. And to celebrate, listen to this. There's not many in Michigan, but there's at least three Cinemark theaters. They're bringing back their Bring Your Own Popcorn Bucket Day. It's a promo where you can literally bring in a bucket. For $5, you can fill it up.
Oh.
It's so last
bring
year
my 55-gallon waste container there.
Last year you could bring in
fill her up.
Not quite that large. At last year you could bring in any container and get up to 400 ounces of popcorn for $5. So that's about 3 gallons for $5.
Okay.
This year they're teaming up with Lowe's and you can go to Lowe's and buy one of those big blue buckets,
sure.
You know, that you mix paint in, and you can bring that in for $5, and that's 5 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to go see a movie. Just walk in with a bucket, get your popcorn, you can go
and
home
take
if
off?
You want. Yeah.
All right. As much of the seasoning on top as you want to?
It sounds like it. It's 2 days, the 18th and 19th of this month.
Right. Heather with the news. Coming up next, TJ went viral. We'll play the audio. We'll hear the backstory next, 97.1. All right, as always, we'll take more of your feedback on the Lions, 248-539-9797. Want to know what you're thinking. As that game ended, were you happy? Were you angry? Were you frustrated? Aloof? 248-539-9797. We've also been asking people the number one reason why the Lions missed the playoffs. Playoffs will start this week without our football team. We also have some audio of one TJ Lang.
Can't wait for this.
Let's set this up. You're in Chicago because the Lions played the Bears.
Correct. Yep.
And you got there a little early. You were there Saturday hanging out with the guys at Barstool.
Yeah, so I've known Big Cat there for a while. I think we did his podcast back in like 2017, I want to say. So stayed in touch with him and PFT, a couple good dudes. And anytime kind of in town, I'd text each other. And we're just in Chicago where they live, have their office. And you know, he said, hey, swing on by for a little bit. So went and hung out with those guys for a little bit.
So you're in they have like a gambling cave.
Yeah, it's like a man cave type deal, couch, a bunch of TVs. And yeah, it was cool, man. I tried to stay out. Unfortunately, we're going to find out I didn't really stay out of the way.
Yeah, you tried to be in the periphery.
Yeah. Tried to stay out of the way, but no, it was.
Did they offer you a spot on the couch?
They did, and I just didn't want to be up front and center. And then it's like pressure, too. It's like a live stream for like 6 hours these guys are doing. I wasn't there for that long, but. It's like pressure to like be funny and like, I don't know. I was just like, you guys do your thing. This is your job. Like, I just want to hang out in the back. I'm cool. Let me try to
jump
out
in every once in a while.
I tried to stay out of the way.
So TJ's
really
staying out of the way until you hear this.
Chair is cupped. Was it a soft chair?
No, it was a hard chair.
Which
kind of had like a bowl shape to it. Which,
I know.
Promoted, it really amplified any of the noise that was going to come off of there. And But I would say this, I pre-apologized. Like, you could hear me say, "Sorry, Spider," and he kind of looks at me like, "What? For what?" And I was like,
yeah, "Oh, that's one of the guys, Spider."
Spider, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were taking a shot. You saw a spider.
No. The spider was the guy, his nickname, sitting next to me.
Oh,
so
okay.
I said, "Hey, sorry, Spider," and kind of was like, "For what?" It was a pre-apology, right? I'll tell you what, like, they have microphones everywhere, too, in there. It was, all had some good rips, John.
Yeah.
It was probably average.
It averaged, yeah, but it sounded.
But I think between the amplification of the
Seat. See, I've used that excuse before, and the kids just roll their eyes like, "Yeah, I don't think so, Dad."
Well, you know, if you're sitting on like a soft couch or something, like, it's going to absorb some of the
sound
waves.
It'll muffle it, yeah.
Right, yeah. If you're sitting on something hard, sound's got nowhere to go. It's got to bounce off of something. So, yeah, that was my viral moment.
So it sounded almost cartoonish.
You're hanging out with a bunch of dudes. It's like, right, you're not thinking about
that.
That's
what dudes do. Yeah. Whatever, yeah. Like, they make you comfortable, and all of a sudden, they make you
make
viral.
Make each other laugh, right?
Greg, just the first part again, because this sounds cartoonish.
Like, that's not, like, John, scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, it was probably
five and a half.
Oh, I was going to say maybe even a 4.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't want to take too much credit.
Yeah, like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I've been there.
If you, like, really dropped the bot, you'd be like, okay, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was short, too. It wasn't extended.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heather, you have feedback on this? You're our resident expert.
Yeah, could you possibly rank it?
I mean, I tend to agree with what you're saying.
It
farts are funny, so it was about a 4.
Okay.
But it was great. Yeah. It was funny. It made me chuckle.
What kind of feedback you got? I saw Dan Miller giving you a hard time.
Yeah, Dan was giving me a hard time and said he's kicking me back to the sideline. He didn't want me in the booth the next day. He was joking. It was cold.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I saw they posted it. I kind of said something about it. And I said, hey, I pre-apologized for it. You know,
yeah.
It was average. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was fun, though. I mean, it was cool hanging out with Dan and a couple of those dudes. We had a good time.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy, though. I was even telling you off air, like, that world,
that whole
content
place is like,
and
yeah,
like, everything's like
cameras on, mics on,
mics and cameras. It's awesome. Like, those guys kill it. But
yeah,
it was kind of like, I want to ask a question, but
well, it's 6 hours of watching
can
football
we go outside
as
so
well.
I can ask you. I don't want to like pick a microphone to pick up something that maybe I'm not supposed to talk about.
Now,
you know?
Is that's a podcast? So you can basically say whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
You can swear on it.
Yeah, I think they do like a live YouTube stream.
Okay, so you don't have to check yourself.
No. But there are like a couple things, like even when I walked in with my water bottle and it was like, oh, you got to change. Because like they have sponsors and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So even
like
kind of that stuff I'd never even think of,
you
know, or even if you're, it was kind of like I just wore a plain shirt because it's like, it's kind of get if
yeah,
you know, we're sponsored by these people, you're wearing other people's stuff. Like, you know what I mean? You can't
competitor.
Do that. So, yeah, I didn't even think about that. But I'm like, man, you got to do, like, this is crazy. That's wild. I would not want a camera or a microphone following me around 24/7.
All in the name of content.
Oh, man. But I gave him a moment. That, you know, we had a moment.
So you're not going to audition for any of the reality TV series?
No, yes. I don't think so. I think my time
in front of the camera,
yes,
is probably
over. Yeah,
those better days are behind.
Yes.
That's why we do radio.
Yes, getting older. I think I'm retiring from that world. Still do the Fox 2 pregame show and Joe that day.
Yeah. But that's only an hour, right?
Yeah. Perfect. That's about my max attention
span
these days. Coming here, 9 to 10.
Uh-huh.
Tom, hey, can you do 8:45? No, that means I got to leave at 9:45.
I got an expiration.
Can't do it. Can't do it. 3 to 4, the afternoon's Friday.
So uh-huh.
Can't do it. Hour max.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you providing us that.
Yeah,
it was.
Did you hear the audio?
I didn't.
You seem like
you
would get a chuckle.
If you put headphones in, we can get your reaction real quick.
Yeah. The race is on.
You seem like you would get a chuckle out of it.
TJ went viral over the weekend.
New headphones?
Those.
Oh, okay.
It's time.
All right,
Greg, I think he's ready.
Okay.
Listen to the reason.
Ha, 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 How many times you blame the shape of the chair?
Oh man, I needed that. I really needed that. Wow.
Yeah, I told you you'd get a laugh out of that. Yeah,
that was pretty great.
Starts Monday off on a strong note.
No, that starts it off on a real strong note. Who was there with you?
I was. So I joined the Barstool guys. Do a stream. Ton of streams.
Okay.
But I went over there. I've known a couple of the guys. Went over and hung out for a little bit. So
that wasn't the stream. That was the other side.
No, that was not a stream at all.
It was dry. Yeah. It was dry. No concerns.
No touch up neither.
No
touch.
No, it was dry.
It's something fun because I know yesterday wasn't. What's the plan for the show today, guys?
I mean, it's blocking and tackling and getting ready for the off season for the Lions and looking ahead to the college football playoff and portal season and all that. But it's a Lions Monday for sure.
Yeah, it's a Lions win, but the reason I say it wasn't great is because season's done. But these guys will take care of it next. Carson Anderson, 97.1.